him her purse. He upended it on the cot, then pawed through everything. A comb, her cell phone, a bag of M&Ms, a small tin of aspirin, a tampon. He balked at the sight of that, then balked again at the pack of condoms. Pale blue eyes slowly pinned her. She shrugged.
I'm nothing if not prepared.
He stared a moment more, then asked, Did you leave your keys in the ignition?
Please, my car has a keyless ignition.
She gave him a look of haughty indignation for thinking she'd be so foolish.
The key fob is in an inside zippered pocket.
He opened it, his large hands clumsy against the small accessory. Her keys went in his pocket along with her cell phone, not that she'd expected to keep either. It'd be great if they at least left her purse with her. This?
Makeup remover cloths. Never know when I might need to do a touch-up.
She unbent enough to reach for her purse.
Allow me before you destroy something.
He gestured in a be-my-guest way, but said, Any tricks at all, and you won't like the results. She glanced up and saw two men with guns trained on her. Definitely no trust at all. Opening another pocket, she retrieved her lipstick and mascara, with a small vial of perfume. The last pocket, on the bottom of the purse, held a power bank and extra cord.
In case my phone dies.
He took everything, squeezed every inch of her purse to ensure nothing else was inside, then dropped it on the bed with the things he hadn't confiscated. Considering how he'd just manhandled her purse...
What did you do with my car? And if you say you torched it and shoved it off a cliff, I'm going to be really pissed.
Amusement curled one side of his mouth. It's parked at the end of your driveway. He eyed her askance. Know a lot of cliffs around the city, do you? She waved a hand.
I meant that metaphorically.
She gave him her own shrewd look.
How did you know where I live?
His gaze hardened. We know everything about you. Well, that was alarming.
You've been following me for a while?
He reached out and smoothed his thumb over her cheek, freezing her with the alarming gentleness. Get comfortable, Sahara. It's gonna be a long night. Now she clutched at him. In bold accusation, she said,
You're leaving me here alone?
She stabbed a finger toward the others.
With them?
All she could see were those pale eyes, but they definitely softened. You'll be on this side of the locked door, and the guards will be on the other. Stay quiet, stay still, and they'll have no reason to disturb you. A little desperate, she blurted,
But I'm hungry.
You have candy. He gestured at the M&Ms on the cot.
I need real food. I've worked all day, straight through lunch, in fact, and was going to eat dinner as soon as I got home.
Under the tight mask, his jaw flexed. He turned to one of the men and said, Go rustle up something. Make it quick. The guy literally bolted from the room, taking the steps two at a time. Glad of the slight reprieve, she sat on the cot and sighed again.
How much did you ask for?
He knew exactly what she meant and replied, $500,000. The quick answer threw her.
Really? How did you come to that number?
Why not? You've got it.
She had it, yes, but it wasn't lying around like petty cash. Was poor Enoch scrambling, trying to figure out a way to get the funds together? Or more likely, Enoch and her men were coming up with a daring and romantic play to get her back without giving the villains a single dime. She liked that theory better.
So because I have financial security, you figured you'd rob me of it?
We're not robbing you. Scott's the one who cheated us out of it.
By dying?
She asked, incredulous. No other conclusion came to her because her brother was an honest, honorable man. Snorting, boss man sat beside her.
You don't believe that any more than I do.
His massive thigh pressed against hers, and she felt the heat of his body all along her side.
No, I don't.
Trying for subtlety, she inched away.
Tell me why you don't believe it.
She needed some reassurance, damn it. He gazed down at her.
You don't know your brother very well, do you?
Insulted, she half-turned to face him.
I know him better than anyone.
If you did, you'd know that whole death scene was a setup.
The words wrought a visual in her mind, choking her more than a fist could. Over 16 months ago, her brother Scott and his then-girlfriend had got out on his yacht on a beautiful sunny afternoon and never returned. The Coast Guard found the yacht floating at sea, the deck covered in blood, his blood and hers, but no bodies. Most people believed they were murdered and thrown overboard, but Sahara had never bought into that theory. As if her love could keep Scott alive, she refused to believe it. She'd hired a PI and had had him on retainer ever since then.
I hope that's true,
she whispered.
I hope he devised the whole thing for some reason.
As if she were a puzzle to be solved, the guy angled his head, his gaze searching hers.
You wouldn't be pissed, would you? Even though all this time you've thought he was dead?
All this time,
she corrected softly.
I've believed he was alive and that eventually he'll come back to me.
After a few seconds of palpable pity, he patted her thigh. She promptly removed his hand, or tried to. He wasn't really cooperating. Actually, his hold tightened. Then, luckily, her food arrived. A sandwich in a sealed plastic lunch bag, chips and a can of cola. Her mouth watered.
Manna from heaven.
That got her another strange look. From most of the men, really, but she didn't care. She ate when nervous, and God knew she had plenty of reason to be nervous right now.
Where'd you get the food?
Were they close to a deli? A grocery? He'd only been gone a few minutes. One thick shoulder lifted.
I'd packed it for later in case I got hungry.
And you gave it to me?
She put a hand to her heart in dramatic appreciation.
Thank you. That's... Well, I'd say it was sweet, but after all, I am your victim. Still, I'm grateful the plan isn't to starve me.
Given the sheepish bent to his head, she imagined her makeshift hero was blushing. He might have shuffled his feet at any moment if the boss man hadn't given an aggrieved sigh, snatched the food from his cohort, and thrust it toward her. She took the plastic-wrapped food and the cola, looked for a place to set them, didn't see one, and instead put the cola on the floor. So that she could eat in private, she shooed them away while opening the sandwich bag.
Go on, do your business so I can get out of here.
You, boss man said, don't give the orders.
But I'm so good at it.
She bit into the sandwich, hummed at the taste of bologna, cheese, and Miracle Whip, chewed and swallowed.
It wasn't a surprise to me, you know, that I could take over body armor and enjoy running it. I've always been an on-point, decisive person. Scott knew that. I only hope he'll be pleased with the changes I've made.
There was a general round of grumbling over that, as if they were personally offended over her interference in the agency. She raised a brow, considering them men who disliked women in business, or something more. Perhaps it was personal to them. But why? Had they worked at the agency? She mentally jumped on that possibility, especially since it made more sense than anything else. If she could only see them. But their masks covered everything, and in some cases even shadowed their eyes. Did they expect her to recognize them? She hadn't fired anyone, so they shouldn't have any grievances against her. But what if Scott had?
Get going, boss man ordered, sounding perturbed.
She tried to study each of them as they went up the stairs. Maybe something in their postures would trigger a memory, or if any of them had an unusual stride. Rough fingers again lifted her chin. This one particular kidnapper had a nasty habit of touching her far too often. She let him know it with a glare. In answer, he stepped closer, until his big feet were braced around hers, leaving her unable to shift away. It gave her the perfect opportunity to land a painful knee to the groin, but she didn't dare.
Two guards will be outside this door.
Hmm, she said.
Yes?
In a way that sounded like a flippant,
so?
Don't be stupid.
Oh, please, I'm never stupid.
She lifted away from his hand and, trying not to look intimidated, took another bite. He didn't back up.
I'm leaving orders for you to be tied and gagged if you give them any problems.
At least this time he didn't threaten to take her clothes. She found some consolation in that.
I'm in a dungeon,
she complained.
What problems could I possibly cause? Now be nice and allow me to eat.
Shaking his head, he muttered, "Unfucking believable," and joined his mates. A second later, she heard a heavy door clang shut, then the unmistakable sound of a bolt sliding into place. The four walls tried to close in on her. The silence all but throbbed. A little creeped out, Sahara ate a chip, wondering what to do next. It was so silent in the concrete room, the sound of the chip crunching seemed absurdly loud. After that last threat, they probably thought she'd wait quietly. Unfortunately for them, patience definitely wasn't one of her virtues. Brand zigzagged in closer to the building, pausing every so often and surveying the area with the night vision binoculars Lise had given him. Under a lightweight jacket, he wore a utility vest with Justice's Glock in an inside pocket. In another was a knife along with a taser, nylon cuffs, and additional ammo that Enoch had taken from their inventory. The body armor supply area was more like an arsenal, with multiple weapons in a locked room next to the shooting range, where bodyguards practiced against targets. Miles' voice burst into his brain straight through a wireless, over-the-ear headset. "You there yet?" "Yeah." He saw some activity. Four guys coming out, barely visible beneath dirty security lights. They kept their heads down, but black masks dangled in their hands.
"Four men. What are they doing?"
"Scoping out the area.
Wait. They went back inside, but I hear an engine."
He stared hard at the dark gap visible in the crumbling brick building. Seconds later, headlights came on and a white van pulled out.
"They're in a white van."
He read the license, repeating the numbers to Miles.
"Sahara said six, so there are at least two more still in there. Were you able to make out their faces?"
"No. The building looks abandoned and there's only one light. This whole area is gone. Everything's shut down. Other than some junkies in the alley and a vagrant passed out on a stoop, I didn't see anyone at all."
"It's after 10,
Miles said, meaning that they'd had Sahara for over 3 hours already.
"If they're leaving now, it might not be for long since the exchange isn't supposed to happen until midnight. Maybe they want to go over the location again. That's exactly what Lise is doing. They're liable to run into each other."
"Let him know."
Brand lowered the binoculars.
"I'm going in. They could be coming right back."
"All the more reason."
No way in hell would he leave Sahara in there any longer than necessary. Miles didn't argue.
"I'll get hold of Lise and let him know, but keep the line open."
"Will do."
Miles was nearby, positioned at a higher vantage point, there if necessary, and to hell with being recognized. Justice would tail Lise, far enough away not to be seen, but close enough to get to him quickly if needed. Enoch was back at the office, able to track Sahara up to a point if the cell failed to pick up the signal. The storm had finally let up, leaving everything sodden, bringing with it a deep chill. Brand hadn't changed clothes, so he was still in jeans and running shoes, but now he had the vest and concealing jacket over his t-shirt.
"And Brand, if you find there are more than two guys, don't do it alone. I can handle two."
Hell, the way he felt right now, he could handle four.
"If I need help, you'll know it."
They said nothing else as Brand made his way from alley to alley, shadow to shadow. As he ducked into one building, rats scurried behind him. He knew he shouldn't rush, but thinking of Sahara, what she might be going through, ate him up. He had to put that from his mind or he'd charge hell-bent into the building and damn the consequences. He wasn't worried for himself. He'd die for her, if that's what it took. But he wouldn't risk her. By the time he slipped through the same open garage door that the other men had exited, he'd regained his methodical control. Oppressive blackness filled the space, with little light penetrating from the street and a dank cold that sank into his bones.
Somewhere in this miserable hellhole they have Sahara.
Using the night vision on the binoculars, he silently, stealthily, explored for 10 minutes without finding any signs of her. Knowing the others could return at any moment, frustration mounted until he heard a man's muted laugh. Senses on high alert, he followed the sound, glad now for the rubber soles. The sounds echoed, making the noise hard to trace, but when the laugh came again, followed by low conversation, it led him to a heavy door, thankfully open, then to stairs and another door, this one partially closed. Brand peered through the narrow crack and saw two big men talking in front of yet another door. That one bolted.
"Those fucking heels she wears, goddamn, they're hot."
One man cupped a hand over his crotch.
"You saw what they did for her ass while she paced? Am I blind?"
His friend chuckled.
"Not that an ass like hers needs any help. If she wasn't so fucking mouthy, she'd be perfect. I like the idea of gagging her. Shouldn't be so hoity-toity then."
The other guy checked his watch. "Give her a few more minutes. She won't be able to stay quiet for much longer, and then we can do as we please."
A snort. Then,
"Are you out of your fucking mind? You heard what he said." "Yeah, and I know the threat was for her, not an excuse for you to paw her."
Fury rose up. Brand wished like hell one of them would have used a name, but they were too busy fantasizing over ways to torment Sahara. He knew, in his gut, that she was behind that locked door.
Maybe if this rolls out as it should, he'll let us have some fun with her before...
Going for the element of surprise, Brand left the gun in his pocket and instead stepped into the small space, taking the men off guard. They both gawked at him.
Be glad you didn't gag her, or you'd already be dead.
He landed a hard right against the first bastard's nose, making him stagger back against the wall, then immediately kicked his friend in the face. He went down stiff, out cold. Now, with his nose streaming, the other creep tried to draw his gun. Brand had heavy fists, and he enjoyed using them. In the cage, sure, during a competition, but especially now, against a man who took pleasure in threatening Sahara. He battered the man mercilessly, and it still didn't expend the rage inside him. When the man slumped, unconscious, he finally let up, but turned to deliver more punishment to the first guy, who was just starting to rouse. He held him by his shirt collar.
If I find a single bruise on her, I'll come back and tear you apart.
Before the fool could say anything, Brand smashed his fist to his face, and the goon's head lolled on his neck. Moving quickly, he retrieved the nylon cuffs and restrained both men with their arms behind their backs. Then he used the bigger cuffs to hobble their legs together. Lastly, he checked them both for weapons, his movements efficient, and without regard for any further discomfort he caused them. When he finished, he stopped and listened, but heard nothing. Heart-punching in dread, he slid the bolt on the door and swung it open. More steps led down. How fucking deep were they hiding her? The lack of sound sent fear burning through him. If Sahara was down there, she wasn't moving, maybe not even breathing. He went down the steps, his gaze searching the barren room, and finally located Sahara to the side of the stairs, crouched down as if preparing to attack. The stark concentration on her beautiful face cleared beneath incredible joy.
Brand, you came!
Seeing that smile did crazy things to his pulse. Her hair hung loose around her, longer than he'd realized it would be. She'd taken off her shoes and had them next to her. Her coat was off and under her to protect her from the cold floor. She'd hiked her narrow skirt up to mid-thigh. Seeing the mess around her, he asked,
"What are you doing?"
"Quietly disassembling this small electric heater to see what parts I could use to defend myself."
She still held a jagged piece of metal, folded to form the shape of a knife. To protect her hand, she'd wrapped something shiny and lavender around her makeshift handle. The weapon looked wickedly deadly, if she knew how to use it. He assumed she did. Maybe he'd done those men a favor, disabling them with their guts still intact. He didn't see any tools, so he asked, "How?"
"I used the rim of the cola can to loosen the screws, then I took off the back cover. My shoe made a nice hammer, and I..."
"What's that wrapped around the handle?"
"My bra."
Her chin lifted.
"I didn't want to cut myself."
Of course, his gaze went to her breasts beneath the soft cashmere of her sweater.
"Yep, braless."
He inhaled slowly through his nose.
"I was going to hunker her over here, and when they started down, I'd be cutting ankles, maybe tendons."
"Damn, gruesome."
Brand shook his head. "Tell me later." He held out a hand. "Let's go." Unwilling to risk the others returning, his top priority was getting her safely away from the area. She stood with the electrical cord in one hand, the piece of metal still in the other.
"You disabled the man guarding me?"
"Yes."
She quickly redressed, shaking out her coat and putting it on, hitching her purse over her shoulder and stepping back into her shoes.
"I don't know how the hell you walk in those things. And yeah, the way they stretched her legs and shaped her ass was something no red-blooded man would miss."
"I like them."
She sent him a look.
"You don't?"
Choosing not to answer that, he said,
"Hurry it up."
She nodded and picked up the metal shiv again.
"Okay, but I need to interrogate one of the men."
"No time for that."
When she finally got close enough, he attempted to take the modified weapon from her. "You don't need this." Her resourcefulness amazed him. But it wouldn't be effective against armed men.
"Here on out, I'll see to your safety."
Resisting, she stuck the cord in her coat pocket, switched the metal blade into her right hand, and took his hand with her left.
"That's so sweet of you, but I'll hold on to it just in case."
Then she tried to take the lead. Brand's immobility pulled her to a halt. She glanced back, questions in her pretty eyes. Aggrieved, he moved around her. When they stepped through the doorway to the landing, they found the two men still slumped, their bruised and battered faces red with their own blood, their hands and feet locked together. Sahara stopped to stare.
"Oh my, you managed all that rather silently."
Now was not the time for her to schmooze him. Let's go, Sahara! She ignored that order.
I was hoping once I got them unmasked, I'd recognize them, but now, I'm not sure their own mothers would know them.
Do worms have mothers? He tried again to get her going. She tried again to pull free.
I told you, I need to question them.
She nudged the closest man with the pointy toe of her shoe, but he didn't rouse.
Is there water anywhere that I could throw on them?
Brand clasped a hand to the back of her neck and leaned close, his gaze boring into hers. We are going, he said succinctly. Now! Eyes flared with disbelief. She asked,
Are you threatening to choke me?
He tightened his hold the tiniest bit, but she still looked only curious. What I'm doing is getting your attention.
Very rudely.
She tried to shrug him off, but he didn't let go. He knew he wasn't hurting her, but getting her on board with the rescue was imperative. Scowling now, sparks going off in her eyes, she said,
You forget that I'm the boss, Brand. I give the orders.
He took grim pleasure in saying, You forget that I don't work for you. When she started to speak, he cut her off. We're leaving here. You either walk or I carry you. Up to you. Her jaw loosened.
You wouldn't dare.
Count of three, honey.
I have a weapon.
That you wouldn't use on me. But if you think I couldn't take it from you, you're wrong. He started to scoop her over his shoulder, and she backed up fast, almost tripping over the downed men. Be careful you don't stab yourself.
If I do, it'll be your fault.
Sahara, he ground out.
Okay, okay.
Brand turned, her hand once again caught in his, and got her moving. The dim light at the small landing faded as they maneuvered back to the main entrance of the garage, forcing Brand to use the binoculars. Careful. He said, guiding her around some fallen equipment of some sort. No answer. They went up the next flight of stairs. Still nothing. Shrugging, he decided that Sahara's sullen silence afforded him the opportunity to share details. Lisa's headed to the exchange site, but then so are the other goons who took you. If they see him, they're gonna want the ransom. A ransom he doesn't actually have. Once I get you out of here, I'll contact him and the others, and they can move in to try to round up your kidnappers. Then you can grill them all you want.
I didn't know that,
she said, and then with more accusation.
You should have told me.
I shouldn't have to explain when your life is in danger.
I wasn't worried about my life,
she said in a small voice.
But you have to know I'd never willingly risk Lise.
Yeah, he did know it. Just to tweak her temper, he asked, You'd risk me, though?
Don't be silly. You'd already pulverized those men and we'd have heard others before they reached us.
They didn't hear me.
Because you're stealthy. Just as I knew you'd be. Admit it, you're made for this job. Why, I bet...
Keep your voice down. Used to her numerous tireless pitches, Brand cut her off. Everything echoes in here, and we don't want to draw attention from anyone on the street. It's not exactly the suburbs. In a whisper, she asked,
Did you see anyone out there?
No, just the four who drove off.
I think that's all of them.
When she almost tripped, he caught her up against him. For just a moment, her body pressed to his, the soft swells of her breasts reminding him that she'd removed her bra to make a handle for a shiv. Holding her turned his voice gruff. Those shoes are a hazard.
Quit picking on my shoes.
Her hand slid up and over his shoulder, then to his nape, where her fingers played with the ends of his hair.
If you weren't dragging me through the dark, I wouldn't stumble.
For the sake of his sanity, he said, Let's try this. He shifted her around behind him. Hold on to my jacket and follow exactly in my footsteps.
Yes, sir.
He wouldn't mind hearing that much deference in bed. Don't let go, Sahara. I mean it.
I'm holding on. Now get going.
The urge to remind her who was in charge nearly got the best of him, but he beat down his inner caveman and led the way. Just as they were reaching the large garage door that would lead them outside, he saw headlights approaching from the distance. Shit. She snuggled close to his back and breathed.
Do we hide or make a run for it?
Both. He steered her quickly to the opposite side of the room, pulling her down with him behind several crates, deeper into the shadows. He wanted to put an arm around her, but keeping his hands free was critical.
It'll be okay,
she whispered. As if in slow motion, he turned his head to see her. Crouched on those impossible heels, her improvised blade back in her hand, she watched the entrance. Un-fucking believable. And impressive. His Sahara had guts. Because he couldn't resist, he pressed a small kiss to her forehead. Don't attack unless I tell you to. She nodded. I mean it, Sahara. He saw her white teeth when she flashed him a smile.
I know.
As the headlights grew brighter, he explained, Once they go down the first flight of stairs, you're going over my shoulder and I'm running out of here.
Nope, I can run.
Your heels will make too much noise and you can shred your feet if you try barefoot.
Oh.
She gave it some thought.
Second time today I've been over a shoulder, and I have to tell you I don't like it.
Someone else had dared to? No, he'd have to think about that later or he'd be destroying someone for daring to touch her. Suddenly, Miles spoke through the earpiece. This has all been enlightening, but don't forget I'm here, okay?
Chapter 4 The intrusion of his friend's voice took Brand off guard. Shit, he had forgotten, but no way in hell would he admit it.
It's under control, Sahara glanced at him.
What?
I'm talking to Miles. He's been with us the whole time, she gasped, then hissed low.
He heard you threaten me?
Brand found her hand, clenching the bra-covered handle of her weapon and gave it a squeeze, his way of requesting her patience. Miles cleared his throat.
You'll be able to get out?
One way or another.
Probably. I'm nearby, he said. If I hear anything I don't like, I'm coming in. Lise? He and Justice are on their way back.
Brand felt compelled to remind Miles.
Sahara doesn't want police involved, so unless you know there's no other way...
Got it. Sahara said.
Thank you.
He gave her one more squeeze, then told Miles,
They're here. Not a word, okay? Understood.
The driver backed the van in, and even the red taillights were bright enough to give them away. Brand pressed farther away, taking Sahara with him. He didn't know how she managed it, but she didn't make a sound, and she didn't topple off those heels. Conversation preceded the men from the van, and they sounded very disgruntled.
It's a hell of a trip to make twice. When you're running things,
the biggest of the men said, you can fuck it up all you want, but I don't like to take chances. Now we know that we'll only be able to leave one guard here with her because everyone else will be needed to cover all the entrances.
We'll have to turn right back around to get there by midnight and get set up, another mentioned. You had something better to do?
The big guy, still wearing a mask, left the van with a box in hand. The open door kicked on the interior light, and Brand saw that it was a cardboard carrier for a bag of takeout and two colas. Unfortunately, the men still wore their disguises, the fanatical pricks.
I have better things to do than to cater to her, the friend grumbled. That's for sure. She's only had a sandwich. Feeding her won't hurt anything.
He slammed the door.
So the head honcho was disgruntled, was he?
You're too soft on her.
That muttered complaint must have pushed him too far. Holding the food box in one hand, he used the other to slam his cohort up against the side panel.
When? He growled. Did I ever say we'd abuse her?
You didn't, but...
She's a means to an end, a way to get what we're owed.
Clenching a fist in the complainer's shirt, he jerked him forward, then slammed him back again, pinning his forearm across the other man's throat.
That's all she is. Now you can either get on board or get the fuck out. What's it to be?
He sure as hell isn't leaving, another man said. We're either in this together, or we're all out.
The one being strangled under the muscular arm rasped,
I'm in! Jesus, let up!
Seconds ticked by, three, four, and finally the boss shoved away. He flipped on a flashlight and stalked off, the beam bouncing ahead of him. The remaining two men, the one who'd fucked up and the one who'd insisted he stay in, stared at each other.
He's soft on her,
the half-strangled dude insisted.
Maybe, but one thing's for sure, you better keep your fucking mouth shut, because either way, he's touchy when it comes to her.
He loosened the mask to scratch at his neck, then turned to leave. His friend followed. A million thoughts went through Brand's mind, especially the supposed softness the head honcho felt for Sahara. But Brand knew they'd only have seconds to go, so he shoved them all aside for now. He had to time it perfectly so that they weren't close enough to hear him running out, but hadn't yet reached the downed men to know they'd lost their bait. He could practically feel Sahara's trepidation.
Stand. Slowly, he whispered.
He held her arm and helped her to do that. Then he took that freakishly wicked weapon from her. Getting accidentally stabbed was not on the agenda.
You'll get it back when we're clear. He breathed into her ear, then, ready?
Yes.
He tucked a shoulder against her middle and silently lifted her, his arm around her thighs to help balance her. Lifting the binoculars, he checked the path he'd take. Night vision goggles would have been nice, but they weren't available in the body armor inventory. Later, he'd talk to Sahara about that. He let the binoculars drop back to his chest and eased out from behind the crates.
Once we hit the street, I'm going fast.
In answer, she grounded herself by clenching her hands in the waistband of his jeans.
Don't worry about me. Just get us out of here.
Bran strode silently toward the opening. A moonlit night would have been welcome, but the scent of the storm still hung thick in the air. His feet had just cleared the garage when he heard the chaos behind him. Needing no more incentive than that, he ran flat out, first up the street, then into an alley so that he cut through to another street, then into an empty building, across the floor, and back out to another alley. He paused, listening, but the sounds were distant now.
"Put me down, please,"
he did, letting her slide the length of his body, his hands going from her warm thighs to her shapely ass, to her small waist. He told himself he wanted to make sure she wasn't hurt. His dick told him he was a liar.
"You okay?"
"I think you broke a rib, but otherwise I'm fine."
Bran coasted a hand back up her body until he found her throat. He curved his hand there, using his thumb to tip up her face.
"Did I really hurt you?"
"No."
Her hand covered his. She stepped closer.
"May I have my ship back now?"
Insane. But Bran smiled. Crazy. Unpredictable. Cool as a cucumber Sahara.
"Do you actually know how to use it?"
"Stab,"
she whispered.
"And twist."
He grimaced. "Yeah, that'd work." He gave it to her, then said,
"Stay right here. I'll only be a second."
"It's dark. Can I hear rats?"
So there was something she feared. "They won't bother you."
"I'll skewer them if they do, but hustle up."
Tunneling his fingers into her hair as a guide, he bent and took her mouth in a firm, quick kiss. Before he did anything else stupid, he edged toward the front of the building. Holding very still, he listened, but didn't hear anything. Miles said into his ear,
"The van just sped away."
"Damn.
All of the men?" "Two were carried out, but yeah, there were six of them." "Sahara's gonna be pissed. Somehow I get the feeling you'll talk her around."
Hearing the note of humor in Miles's voice, Bran said,
"Fuck off."
Moving right past that, Miles asked,
"She's not hurt, is she?"
"Hurt? She was planning a massacre."
Ready to get her to safety, he added,
"We'll head to the corner of South Street and Garfield. You can pick us up there." "Dicey area. Watch yourself. I'll head back to get the car and be there in 5.
Bran returned to Sahara. She was right where he'd left her, eating M&Ms out of her purse. When she heard him coming, she asked,
"Bran?"
"Yeah?"
"Have you eaten? Because I'm starved."
Would she ever cease to amaze him? He knew she had 100 things on her mind, all of them more important than food. Then again, she was a pragmatist, especially when it came to basic needs. Her no-nonsense approach meant she'd be doubly disappointed to know she couldn't question anyone. So he ignored the mention of food and broke the bad news.
"I'm sorry, honey, but the goons took off."
She absorbed that in silence, then slammed her weapon against a rickety wall.
"I told you I should have interrogated those men!"
He caught her shoulders before she could begin pacing.
"They were carried out, so my guess is they couldn't have answered your questions no matter how you tortured them."
"Oh, they'd have talked,"
she promised in an evil voice. Bran grinned again.
"You're scary, you know that?"
He kissed her once more, a little longer this time.
"Mmm, you taste like chocolate."
"It's the candy."
He went in for a deeper taste, and damn her, she let him. When he pulled back, she breathed,
"I wanted to hold you so badly, but I have M&Ms in one hand and this trusty dagger in the other, so..."
"Later," he promised himself, then shook his head because he couldn't seriously be thinking about going down that path. Everything Sahara did ultimately ended up back at the same place, with her need to find a brother who was no longer alive. For hopefully the last time, he took her trusty dagger from her and led her through the crumbling building and out to the street. At least the air was fresher here, even if everything dripped from the storm.
"We have to meet Miles a few blocks up. It's a nasty area, so if anyone shows up, for the love of God, get behind me and let me handle it."
"Like a knight in shining armor?"
She sighed.
"So romantic. It's almost like you were born to be a protector."
He huffed a laugh.
"Huh, you never give up, do you?"
"When I want something this much, no."
If she wanted him that much, he'd be flattered. But she wanted another employee, and that was a whole different game. They made it to the corner without incident. It was a little busier here, more bustling with traffic passing and a few places lit up, a bar, a convenience store, a gas station. He watched as Sahara buttoned up her coat, tied the belt, and turned up the collar. Her long hair curled a little from the stormy humidity, and she looked so damn sexy, so sweet. All he could think about was having her. It was in part due to the adrenaline dump. Back in the day, he'd been a regular street brawler, and to be honest, he'd loved it. But his mom hadn't, and so he'd gotten his shit together, went legit, and made it to the SBC. That was all up in the air again, though, and odds were he'd have to quit after the next fight. But not yet. And not to be Sahara's underling.
I'm cold.
Is that a hint for me to warm you up?
Could you?
Without waiting for an invite, she stepped into him, her cheek against his chest. Feeling her shivers, he held her closer, his free hand wrapped in her hair. How come you never wear it down?
Because I'm the boss.
She said it like it made perfect sense. Bosses can't have long hair?
Bosses have to look controlled.
Trying to figure her out, he asked. And the clothes you wear?
They're my expensive professional classic I'm in charge and I know it clothes. Perfect for a shark.
She sounded sleepy, and that automatically led him to thinking about her going to bed. At her big mansion, alone. Tired? He asked.
A little, but I need food before I rest.
Keeping her chin on his chest, she turned her face up to his.
Do you feel like eating?
A loaded question, especially with the way she looked at him. Did she mean to put carnal images in his head? Whether she did or not, he got a distinct visual of her on her back, her long legs over his shoulders while he stroked her with his tongue.
Brand.
Damn it. Now she sounded breathy, but he couldn't tell if it was exhaustion or interest. Bottom line, if she wanted company, he'd be company. Sure. Where do you want to go?
My place.
Her place? Oh, hell no. Trying to be reasonable, he said, I was under the impression that the kidnappers know where you live.
Clearly, but once I'm locked inside, they can't bother me.
They've already bothered you.
Yes, but there's nowhere more secure than my home.
She walked her fingers up his chest.
And you can ensure I get inside safely, right?
Be alone with her in that mausoleum, with her braless, her hair down and the caveman testosterone still pumping hard through his bloodstream? Bad idea. Sahara.
Look, isn't that Miles now?
Once she spotted him, she straightened with relief.
Thank goodness, because much as I hate to admit a weakness, I'm ready to crash.
As if he didn't already know it, she heaved a heavy sigh and said,
It's been a trying day.
What an understatement. And what a woman. Sahara would always be a handful, but then, Brand had very big hands. He was incredibly pissed, and also impressed to the point where he couldn't reconcile the two emotions. He sat in the back of the van with his downed men, ready to finish them off the second they came to. Carrying them out hadn't been easy, not up those stairs. Sahara. Carrying her had been a pleasure. She was a shapely thing, slender and toned, but still soft in all the right places. And she smelled good. It had taken great resolve on his part not to turn his face against her hip and...
They're coming around, finally,
Olsen said. Ross gave him a dark look, and he went silent again. Olsen had a problem keeping his mouth shut. No one was supposed to talk to her but him. He, at least, hadn't underestimated her. Much. But Olsen, with his ideas on the weaker sex, couldn't stop his blathering. It's a wonder Sahara hadn't flayed him alive. Ross had no doubt that if she'd decided to, she'd have found a way. When the man closest to his outstretched legs groaned, Ross gave him a nudge.
Think carefully before you say anything. One fucking lie and I'll throw you out to the street where you can die without being a pain in my ass.
Not taking the threat to heart, he groaned again. Ross sat forward.
Tell me she didn't do this to you.
The groan mixed with a laugh.
Nah, a man. He came in to get her.
Ross relaxed, but only a little. Of course, Sahara hadn't done all that damage. The lady might have brass cojones and plenty of ingenuity, but she didn't have the bulk and muscle needed to demolish grown men.
And what the fuck were you doing? Jacking off? Talking to Terrence?
Uh-huh.
So you two geniuses were so lost in conversation you didn't hear this guy come in?
Terrence struggled onto his side.
Didn't hear a sound, Ross. Then suddenly he was there.
Gingerly, a hand to his nose, he sat up.
I think it's broken.
You think? Ross eyed the grotesque, swollen flesh that used to be Terence's nose.
Your nostrils damn near touch your ear. Yeah, sure like it's broken.
Olsen shook his head.
Figured it was a man. I didn't think that skinny lady could do all that damage, but Ross wasn't so sure.
Ross slowly turned his head to glare at Olsen.
You haven't yet figured out that she somehow signaled the guy who came for her?
Olsen looked struck.
Signaled him? How the hell else do you think he found her?
Andy, too, managed to sit upright.
I didn't recognize him as one of her bodyguards, but the bastard sure knew how to fight.
There wasn't any fight, Ross snapped. He wiped the floor with the two of you.
I got taken by surprise with a kick to the face,
Terence defended.
I don't remember much after that. And you?
Ross asked Andy.
Your face is so fucked I barely recognize you.
With only one eye open, Andy complained.
I don't remember shit either.
He moved his tongue in his mouth, then spat out a tooth. Ross gave a disgusted laugh.
So this guy just materialized out of nowhere and started destroying you both?
Terence glanced at Andy. Andy, looking a little alarmed, tried to frown, but Ross caught the look. With throbbing menace, he asked softly,
What did you do?
Fury brought him slowly forward.
Did you touch her?
No!
They were both quick to deny. Then Terence, maybe seeing a way to deflect the anger off his own head, admitted,
We were talking about her, though, and I guess he overheard.
Even softer now, Ross asked,
What did you say?
Holding his ribs, Terence scooted until he could sit with his back against the side of the van.
I just pointed out how hot she looked in those heels.
If he hadn't been so pathetically abused, Ross might have hit him again. Yeah, she did look killer hot in the heels, but they knew his rules. Sahara Silver was off limits, and damn it, in his mind, that included fantasizing over her. After touching the bridge of his nose and wincing, Terence added,
Dumbass over there was running his mouth, though. I'm guessing that's why he got the worst of it.
Andy did look a mess, more deliberately worked over. Not a spot remained on his face that wasn't bruised, swollen, split, or bloody. It was a wonder he could speak at all with his lips so fat. Even his ears were mangled. Given how gingerly he moved, he'd taken plenty of body blows as well. Ross didn't care. He didn't have an ounce of sympathy.
What were you saying, Andy?
Nothing!
He must have thought better of that and explained,
Same shit as Terence!
Ross waited. As the tension grew, Terence put his head back and closed his eyes. The other man looked away. Andy shifted and groaned.
Ah, Jesus Ace Christ, Andy! Just spit it out!
Olsen snapped.
You're making everyone uneasy!
Sullen, Andy stared at his feet.
I made a joke about gagging her.
Unaccountable rage gripped Ross.
And?
I just said she'd be perfect except for her mouth, and I joked, Ross, about checking on her so I could gag her. I knew she wouldn't be peacefully sitting down there, waiting like you told her to, and you did warn her what would happen if she didn't behave. I figured she was up to something, and I guess I was right, wasn't I? Somehow, she called that prick and...
Did you actually touch her, Andy? Did you lay a single finger on her? Even get close to her?
All of the men stared at him, aware that he just might snap if... Terence said quickly,
We never even opened the door, Ross. It was just talk, that's all.
Gradually, Ross got his shit together. He was making a fool of himself over her, but damn, he'd been studying her for so long he felt like she belonged to him. Being with her today, having control of her while also being her protection, had affected him in ways it shouldn't have. Means to an end. That's what she was, what she had to be. Allowing himself to feel anything else was beyond stupid. It didn't matter that she was gutsy and fearless, refined despite the circumstances, bold and intelligent. He clamped down on all those wayward thoughts.
Means to an end, goddammit.
Forcing himself to sound reasonable, Ross said,
She had no way to call anyone from the basement.
So she was down there behaving.
Olsen snorted.
Hell no. She took apart the heater. Parts are missing. I'm guessing she made a weapon.
He grinned, seeing the surprise on Andy's and Terence's faces.
If her boyfriend hadn't stomped on you, she might have done it herself.
He's not her boyfriend, Ross said, his voice deliberately devoid of inflection. She doesn't date, not since Scott went missing.
Not a bodyguard, not a boyfriend, Terrence said. Then who was he?
I don't know. That fact really pissed him off. But I intend to find out. No, he silently promised her. We're not done, Sahara. Not by a long shot. And the next time I get you, I'll make damn sure you don't get away.
Brand tried not to look as uncomfortable as he felt standing in Sahara's grand foyer. Far as he was concerned, it was a terrible idea. Never mind that she had a locked gate and a high-tech security system. She shouldn't be alone, period. But she'd ignored all his arguments, damn it, and the other guys hadn't been any more successful. He suspected it was her pride, insisting she stay in the house. She wasn't a woman who'd easily show her fear. He knew it. He understood it. But Jesus, he hated it. Now, after unsuccessfully trying to convince her to at least bring in the cops, the others had left.
No, she'd asserted. This is personal. They know something about Scott. I'm going to handle it my way, so get used to it.
Her way, for the remainder of the evening at least, was to pretend she hadn't been taken hostage. Her car, which probably cost more than some houses, had been parked in the end of the driveway just as, she claimed, the kidnappers had promised. She'd wanted to drive it up to the front door herself, but the men had outvoted her on that. Once Miles had done a full sweep of the car, Justice drove it up to her garage. Of course, they'd wanted to take turns standing guard, but Sahara refused that too. They all had upcoming assignments to prep for, and she felt safe in her own home, so they'd only hung around long enough to ensure she wasn't too upset, ha! And that no one had tampered with her house. Brand would stay with her. She'd agreed to that much, but the guys didn't like it. They trusted him, but as they'd said, he wasn't a bodyguard. Still, he assured them that he wouldn't let anything happen to her, and he intended to make good on that promise. The keyless entries, one at the street that opened wide, arched gates, and another at the end of the long, lighted private lane that secured the main entrance, were still set. If anyone without the passcode had tried to intrude, alarms would have gone directly to a security company. Showing no residual effects from her adventures, Sahara stepped out of her shoes, wiggled her toes, shrugged off her coat, and hung it on a coat tree. The enormous shiv she placed at the bottom of the stairs.
What? He asked. Do you plan to do with that?
I'm partial to it now, so it'll probably reside in my bedroom.
With her bra still used as a grip for the handle? She gave him a tentative smile.
Come on.
Brand wasn't sure if he should remove his shoes as well. His running shoes wouldn't hurt the polished marble floors, but then again, what did he know about the protocol for a mansion? Without him having to ask, Sahara answered by hooking her arm through his and leading him to the kitchen. He felt the full curve of her breast against his upper arm, and it kept his body humming with tension. Any other woman, and he'd have already checked the invitation to see how far it extended. But not with Sahara Silver, owner of body armor. Self-proclaimed shark. The kitchen was something out of storybooks, momentarily distracting him once she let him go. He turned a full circle, taking it in.
Damn!
The detailed ceiling was its own work of art. One end boasted a sectional couch under tall windows, a center island held plenty of bar stools, and at the other end was the thick wooden table that could seat six.
Grab a seat. Do you want something to drink while I throw together a meal?
Yeah, he wouldn't mind the whole bottle. Maybe it'd help him get through this bizarre night.
He shook his head as he pulled out a chair at the table. I'm good.
Coffee, then.
On bare feet, she went to a massive refrigerator and retrieved several things, including chicken fillets. Going on tiptoe, stretching those sexy calves, she got down a bowl and dropped the chicken inside, then poured in Italian dressing, dashed in some other seasonings, and used a fork to stir it around. Next, she set her oven, then washed her hands and got the coffee started. She seemed to do it all with planned movements meant to best utilize her time and streamline all processes. Nothing new in that. Sahara was one of the most efficient people he'd ever met. After grabbing a cookie from a big round jar, she joined him at the table, watching him while she nibbled. She held it out.
Want a bite?
He shook his head.
What are you cooking?
Italian chicken, baked potatoes, and salad.
Hell of a meal to throw together after midnight. He lifted a brow. Dessert first?
Oh, honey, a single cookie could never be dessert.
She popped the rest in her mouth, left her seat to poke at the chicken with the fork, then got out a dish and prepped it with butter.
How hungry are you?
Starving, but not for food. Every time she went on tiptoe, he had the burning urge to run his palms up the inside of her thighs. The movement of her breasts under that soft sweater kept drawing his attention, too. Her nipples were just tight enough to be visible and to make his mouth water. She looked over her shoulder in a provocative way. Deliberately or not, he wasn't sure.
Brand.
He met her gaze with a piercing stare. Very deliberately. I would have been fine with a sandwich. Blue eyes lit up.
Something fast and easy, huh?
Her mouth curled.
Not my style.
Looking away from him again, she washed two potatoes, then put them on a plate and into the microwave.
Although this meal is pretty quick and not all that difficult.
Brand was still pondering her fast and easy comment, knowing he might be fast with her, but not easy. No, he wanted to claim her. He wanted that bad. I get the feeling you're teasing me, Sahara. His tone alerted her, and she turned to face him.
Maybe a little. You always resist easily enough.
Not tonight. Trying to see how far you can push it? She braced her hands behind her on the counter, which pushed out her breasts. One leg bent, her gaze sultry, she said,
I'm curious, aren't you?
He already knew his breaking point, and he was damn near it already. Smiling just to confuse her, he asked, So how long is this meal gonna take? The oven dinged, and she turned away.
30 minutes.
He watched as she got everything in the oven. She ate another cookie while putting together a salad, and then she set the table, leaning close to him, brushing against him. She was really feeling frisky tonight, or was it something more? When she started to move away, Brand caught her arm. Her skin was soft and warm, her bones delicate, but the woman had iron in her blood and a will made of titanium. Brushing his thumb over the silken skin inside her elbow, he asked, Is this your way of reacting to the evening? A flash of uncertainty filled her blue eyes, then cleared behind a big grin. She put a hand to his chest.
One of the most appealing men I've ever known is in my kitchen, and you want to dissect my mood?
That evasive non-answer only made him more determined. Yeah, I think I do, he tugged. Of course, she resisted his efforts, and of course, he won the small battle. She either overestimated her strength or underestimated his. Sahara ended up sprawled in his lap, a sexy, squirming armful. As he worked to contain her, he asked, Easy or hard, Sahara? Her eyes flared wide, and her lips parted. Cursing himself over his unfortunate wording, Brand briefly looked away. When she again tried to scramble free, he locked his arms around her and pinned her with his gaze. Being so close, he saw the thickness of her lashes, how her pupils dilated. He even felt the warmth of her faster breaths. Her gaze dropped to his mouth. Fighting his way out of the cage with the number one heavyweight would have been easier, but he managed not to kiss her.
We're going to talk about what happened tonight, especially what happened while you were alone with them.
We are.
He saw no reason to repeat himself, so he merely waited. Proving she wasn't on her A-game right now, she cracked.
There's nothing much to tell. They said Scott owed them money, and they were getting it back by ransoming me.
That sounded true, but no way was it the whole story. You said someone put you over his shoulder. Even though he'd done the same thing, it infuriated him to imagine it.
The boss man,
she confirmed with an indignant nod.
The one in charge. He warned the others not to bother me, and they didn't. Shoot, they hardly spoke to me. But he explained a few things.
About Scott?
No, just the rules.
Something in her expression, in the way her voice dropped, alerted him. Opening his hand on her back, he soothed the path up and down her rigid spine.
What rules, honey?
She stared at him.
You're comforting me?
Something like that.
Oh.
Suddenly, she tucked herself closer, her cheek against his shoulder, her hand sliding up his chest.
This is nice.
Drawing out her name like a warning, he said, Sahara.
I really don't want to talk about it. Nothing happened, I promise.
Brand tunneled his fingers into her hair, then tugged her head back. I know you better than that. He wanted her trust.
He needed her to know that she didn't have to be the boss every minute of every day, not with him. Her searching gaze bounced back and forth over his.
You have a really thick, dark eyelashes, Brand. Did you know that?
Sahara.
And all this sexy stubble,
she said, reaching for his face.
Enough. Brand tilted out of reach. You're gonna tell me what happened to you, so stop trying to distract me.
Groaning, she whacked his shoulder.
You're not normal, damn it! Why can't you just take what I'm offering?
His mouth covered hers in the most expedient way to silence her annoyance. She immediately sank against him, all the vibrating agitation draining from her slim body. Perfect. Too perfect. Bordering on dangerous. And wasn't that absurd, given the situation they'd just escaped?
Chapter 5. It didn't take long for Brand to realize he'd made a strategic mistake. Clutching at him, Sahara adjusted her position, taking his tongue when he went in for a deeper taste, then giving her own as he tried to retreat. Her low sound of pleasure made him throb, especially when she twisted so her breasts more fully met his chest and her bottom squirmed over his lap, or more specifically, over his thickening erection. Whoa, a boner right now would be wholly out of place. Easing up by slow degrees, Brand kissed the corner of her mouth, her stubborn jaw, the sleek column of her throat. She was so soft and fragrant everywhere. He could get drunk on the scent of her skin, on the feel of her against him, on the taste of her mouth and the sexy sound she made. More prominent than his need, though, was her reaction to his questions. She was usually so forthright that her avoidance now worried him. Pressing her head to his shoulder, he drew a few deep breaths, giving them both time to recover before asking, "What rules?" Still limp against him, she muttered,
"God, you're stubborn."
Her hair felt like silk through his fingers.
"If we're comparing..."
"We're not,"
she huffed, but didn't try to get away.
"If you must know, I bluffed through most of my nervousness. I didn't want them to know that I was concerned, so I acted like they were nothing, less than nothing."
That didn't surprise him at all. Sahara could be terrified, and she'd show indifference.
Pride?
"In part, sure. But I also wanted to find out what I could about Scott, so I kept pushing."
Like she often did with him. Only he wasn't a kidnapper, and they both knew he'd never hurt her. Seconds ticked by before she softly added,
"I was told to behave, or I'd be stripped naked and tied to the cot."
Motherfucker.
"Obviously, I couldn't let that happen."
She couldn't have stopped them, and that's why she'd been making the weapons. He gathered her closer, proud of her, impressed and overwhelmed with the need to protect. Forget beating the shit out of the guy. He'd kill him instead. She whispered,
"It frustrates me that in some ways women are weaker than men."
When it came to possible rape, she meant, and he wanted to crush her closer still. "I'm sorry you went through that."
"Even that vile threat wouldn't have been so unsettling, except, well, I don't know if I imagined it or not, but he seemed to..."
She gave it some thought.
"Like isn't the right word, but then neither is want. It's hard to explain, and I might be way off base, but I think he..."
When she curled a little tighter against him, Brand said,
"I've never known anyone as smart and intuitive as you. Whatever you're thinking, I'd bet a championship belt that you're dead on."
She pushed back to see his face.
"Really?"
"Really."
Sahara always packed a sensual punch, but now, with her hair loose and her eyes vulnerable, she could bring him to his knees.
"You have great instincts, honey."
Her teeth worried her plump bottom lip before she gave it up.
"He admired me, Brand. Now isn't that bizarre?"
"No, I can't imagine any man not admiring you."
"I..."
She closed her mouth, opened it again, and finally said,
"Thank you."
"You're welcome." Seeing that she was a little more relaxed, he asked, "How could you tell what he felt?"
"The way he'd looked at me as if I'd surprised him, and the way he'd smile at me. I even made him laugh a few times, and not necessarily on purpose. He constantly warned off the other guys, but then he'd touch me when he shouldn't. When there was no reason to, like sitting so close that his thigh was against mine."
She shuddered. To keep her talking, Brand suggested,
"Maybe he wanted to play on your helplessness."
Umbridge brought her brows together.
I was never helpless.
No, she probably hadn't been, at least not in her mind. Unfortunately for her, not everyone shared her delusions.
You were a woman alone with six armed men.